From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Recently, I was talking with someone who works with a lot of really big people, and they were trying to understand all the different things that I do. And they had this idea of who I am and what I produce and who I serve. And then I explained this whole other way of looking at it, of all the things that I'm doing and planning that maybe some of it isn't visible yet. And then these words popped out of my mouth, and the words were, I don't want to be in the box. I want to stand on top of the box. And as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, that's a really good way of thinking about it. You know, we tend to construct a box around ourselves, all of us. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We just try to figure out where the limitations are and where our boundaries are and what we can know and what we can feel confident about, what we feel like we can control inside the box. But the real opportunity is outside the box. And I know now I'm like drifting into cliche territory here with like think outside the box, but it's just true. It's a helpful way to think. We do not want to limit ourselves. And yet we keep limiting ourselves. Why do we do that? Why? Well,
our brain is intrinsically motivated to protect us from change. That it is there to help keep us comfortable. And anything that feels uncomfortable in any shape or form becomes a fear.
This is my friend, Mario Armstrong, who is one of the most inspirational guys I know.
Mario Armstrong, host of the Never Settle Show and the Wake Up and Level Up podcast, entrepreneur and lover of all things media entrepreneurship and helping you pursue your passion.
It's a good intro, isn't it? Anyway, here's why I recently called Mario. It's because I had been thinking about this interesting gift of 2020, a gift of the pandemic, which is a weird thing to say. But in this one way, at least, I do think that it's true for entrepreneurs, at least, or people who were willing to wrap their heads around this. And that is that, you know, we build these boundaries for ourselves. And yet the pandemic forced us to recognize and then completely blow past these boundaries. We just had absolutely no choice. We had to disregard all the things that we felt like we knew and try new things. And that has led to great growth for so many people. I recognize not everybody, but for many. And I wanted to understand that a little bit more, and I wanted to share insights on that. And so here's what I did. First, my editor's letter in the January-February issue of Entrepreneur Magazine, January-February 2021, is about this, and I'm going to read it for you in a moment. And then I wanted to talk with someone who could really help me understand boundaries and how to push past them. And there is no better person than Mario. So on this episode of the show, I'm going to share with you my own thoughts on how to identify and blow past boundaries and what we learned that was so important from the experience of the pandemic. And are still learning, frankly. And then I'm going to share my conversation with Mario about how to push past that, how to never, ever settle. Coming up after the break. Just the other day, I opened this app that I use all the time, and it had no idea who I was. It wanted me to enter my username and password. Come on, I don't remember my username and password. Just let me in. Why don't you remember me? You know what this is? It is an identity problem. And this is the type of experience that Ping Identity makes awesome. So what is Ping Identity? It is the leader in global enterprise identity security, and it helps the world's largest organizations deliver secure, extraordinary digital experiences to their employees and customers. Because look, security is very important, but it shouldn't also have to be bothersome. If your app forgets your most loyal customers, you've got a problem. If your internal systems can't enable your employees to securely access anything they need without constantly entering and changing passwords, you've got a problem. And so Ping Identity solves those problems. It makes your business secure and agile, so customers can access what they want when they want it, and your employees can be productivity rock stars no matter where they are. Ping Identity is the champion of enterprise identity security. If you want to learn more, just go to pingidentity.com. Again, that is ping, P-I-N-G, pingidentity.com.
And now, our next sponsor.
Are you experiencing slowdown as you work from home because you're sharing your Wi-Fi network with family members? Do you need a separate network for enterprise-level security? The world runs on Wi-Fi, and small businesses and home offices are no exception. More than ever, it's important that your business network delivers the very best performance and unparalleled coverage to keep your teams well-connected, whether they're in the office or working from home. Wi-Fi 6 is the latest in Wi-Fi technology, delivering unmatched speed, coverage, security, and capacity for all your business needs. Netgear's Wi-Fi 6 business solutions, including the latest Wi-Fi 6 access points and the new Orbi Pro Wi-Fi 6 tri-band mesh system, are easy to set up and manage so you can keep your guests connected and your data protected from anywhere, anytime. With business Wi-Fi solutions from Netgear, you can focus on your business, not your IT. Visit netgear.com/Wi-Fi and never worry about Wi-Fi again. That's netgear.com/Wi-Fi. All right, we're back. So like I said, this is an episode all about identifying and blowing past boundaries. How and why and how this past year really did help us, I think, do that. And so I'm going to start with this thing that I wrote in the magazine, an editor's letter. I called it Destroy Your Boundaries. I said last year taught us about what's possible this year, that being 2021. Right now, let's put that lesson to maximum use. And here it goes. Oh, actually, before I begin, actually, I don't know if this is going to get picked up, but just in case you're hearing something and you're wondering, what is the banging and the yelling? What it is that I'm hiding away in a basement right now producing this podcast while there are children stomping around upstairs. And there's just no way around it. This is a pandemic time. So I got to make this show. The kids got to stomp. What else are we going to do? Okay. Anyway, have you ever seen a dog that's trained with an electronic collar? It is quite a thing. They learn where their boundary is and then never cross it. It is as if they are stuck behind an invisible wall. Now, here is a horrifying idea. We humans are a lot like those dogs. We also stop short of invisible walls. We've done it our entire careers. But unlike dogs, we often make those boundaries ourselves. That was my big takeaway from the year 2020, because it was the year a lot of those invisible walls came down. We stopped ruling out ideas just because they seemed hard or inconvenient. We stopped hewing to old dogma about the way things have to be done. We were pushed out of our comfort zones, out past those boundaries, and we discovered everything we were missing. New ideas and new courage flowed as a result. Then we started to reinvent, to rediscover, to expand our businesses and our lives. And what were those old boundaries? They came in the form of statements. Maybe some of these will sound familiar to you. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. My customer doesn't want that. I can only sell it this way. I can only build it that way. This idea is too crazy. That idea will never work. I often wonder where thoughts like that come from. Why did we carve up a large world of possibility and limit ourselves to just a tiny part of it? Here is my theory. When we find something we're good at, we start to define ourselves by how good we can be at it. But in the process, our definition of what we're good at starts to narrow. I recently spoke with a specialty retailer who exemplifies this problem. In pre-pandemic times, she had a storefront where her staff greeted anyone who walked in. During the pandemic, however, she was forced to see people by appointment only. And even though that meant reaching fewer potential customers, her profits soared. Why? Because most of the people walking into her store were never going to buy from her anyway, but she had to pay a staff to engage with them. The appointment system allowed her to focus entirely on her real customer at a lower cost. So consider what happened there. Her business was successful, and she always wanted to make it more successful, but appointment-only operations never occurred to her before. That's because she defined herself too narrowly. She was asking herself, how do I do a better job of operating this storefront? Framed that way, she could never consider closing the store. She'd created a boundary without realizing it. But the pandemic helped her redefine that question. Instead, if you're asking, how do I run the storefront better? She asked, how do I do a better job solving my client's problem? Then the idea of closing the store suddenly made sense. This, again, was the beauty of 2020. It forced us to consider what once seemed out of the question. There was simply no other option. And so the statements we told ourselves had to change. They became, I can try that. I'll learn how to do that. This serves my customer's new need. I can sell it another way. I can build it another way. This idea is so crazy, it just might work. Now, here is my challenge to all of us in 2021. Let's never forget this lesson. The future will bring great new opportunities, but eventually it will also bring great new comfort. We once again will be tempted to define ourselves narrowly, to protect a simple vision of what we have at the expense of everything that could have been. And yet, we will also carry the solution. We can always remember this time. We can know that radical thinking isn't beyond our grasp. It isn't some foreign concept or something fleeting. It is simply a matter of recognizing our invisible boundaries. And then, unlike a trained dog, walking right through them. So, okay, that was the column. And now we are going to turn to Mario Armstrong, a guy who has dedicated his life to helping people push past boundaries, to accepting that they shall never settle. And we're going to talk about how people build these walls up and how we can break them down. So here's where we're going to start. When I called Mario, I said, look, Mario, you were the obvious person for me to call because you spend all this time thinking about and preaching on breaking through barriers. But how did you actually get into that? Why was that the thing that you focused on? And he said,
well, because it unlocked for me, Jason, pretty early on after I met with some neuroscientists. And what I found out was something that maybe many of you already knew, I didn't. What I did not know is that our brain is intrinsically motivated to protect us from change, that it is there to help keep us comfortable. And anything that feels uncomfortable in any shape or form becomes a fear and a limit. And it slows us down. And so our body starts to react. We get all these physiological reactions, whether it's sweaty palms or dry mouth or anything like that. And so once I understood, like, wait, so that just happens just because of evolution of man, just because if I walked out as a cave, I didn't know if a dinosaur was going to eat me, but I'm walking out on a stage of 500 people and I feel like a dinosaur is about to eat me. But am I going to die? No. But does it feel like I'm going to die? Yes. So once I recognized that that was actually our default programming within us, I said, there has to be a way that we can utilize that information to move past it. I still wasn't fully getting it until it happened in my own life. And so that's when I recognized that the power of resiliency was something that entrepreneurs need to flex as a muscle. And that means in order to be resilient, you have to get knocked down in order to get back up. And in order to do that, you have to take more shots. And as if you limit yourself, you don't get to take enough shots. Therefore, you put too much into the one shot you're taking, and therefore you feel winded or you feel afraid, or you don't try, as your article alludes to, or even really shows in a very detailed way, you don't try other things because you've limited yourself on the vision that you see for yourself because you haven't been put into a situation where you had to fight for survival. And so when you get into that mode, you start getting very creative and you start finding other ways to approach a particular goal or a particular opportunity for it to unfold. And so I think to me, never settle is just a concept of trying to get into our framework of understanding that we get to choose if we want to settle or not, and we get to choose that energy. So don't allow those self-limiting beliefs to enter in. Use that as, yeah, I'm never going to settle. I'm never settling, as a way to try to find other alternatives to accomplish some of the same goal.
So what you just said there raised this interesting question to me, which is a nature versus nurture question. What you were just describing and what I wrote about really as well was this self-creation of boundaries, right? Which is to say it's like inside of us. We see boundaries, we're afraid of them, but we're also told there are boundaries everywhere, right? We're told by people that that's not possible or that's not for you or whatever the case is. So I'm curious what you think about where these things come from for us. How much of them are just self-created and how much of them are us absorbing things that other people are telling us?
Oh, I mean, I'm not a scientist on this, but it's definitely both. But it starts at an early age with how you were even brought up, just how you even dealt with certain things in life and how you were bullied. Everybody's got some kind of story more than likely about something that happened to them that really kind of maybe shaped them. If they really dig into that, they can realize that a lot of steps that they take today may still be shaped from that incident or that thing that took place. So there's a lot of self-reflection and self-assessment. And that's why I also think in 2020, to your article's credit, when we were forced on that global reset, that was the opportunity because everybody was starting at the same point of zero. And so you had a moment in time to really self-assess. Do you like where you are? Are you fulfilled? Is this happy for you? Are you generating the income from the business? Is there a product that really sucks that you've just been holding on to because it's your baby, but really you need to pivot and move to something else? All these ideas were like starting to come to the surface because we never had as much time to just be forced to deal with our own thoughts because we're so used to so many distractions that are out there. It kept us in this programmed state of what we thought our potential is and not really see. So I just think that because of that uncovering, we now have this different view because people had to be resourceful. You now have a different view and you shouldn't wait till your back is against the wall. Now you've seen that you can actually create based around these limiting beliefs. The biggest one today for me is that we replay the stories of the things that have either happened to us or what people say. I don't think it's about us beating ourselves down more than it's about us just replaying what has been said or what we think is a limitation to us. And when we play that, constantly, we start to believe it. And so I think, you know, this is why mental fitness is the most important piece of machinery in terms of operating as an entrepreneur. Everybody else thinks it's tactics or it's strategies. All that stuff's important. But if you can't get your mind to be at ease and to be in control and to be more mindful about your approaches and to do better with your health and to understand your intent and to live more in empathy, you will have a better business if you have a better mind. And so I think a lot of people now are waking up to that and are realizing I need to spend more time on myself and on more time on my mental state.
Yeah. So you used that word story a minute ago, the story we tell of ourselves. And it reminded me of this moment where I was on your show, the Never Settle Show, and this woman in the front row raised her hand and asked this question. And I don't remember it exactly, but basically she said, look, I've had a lot of setbacks in my life. And what's your advice to going forward, knowing how often I've failed or that I have this failure almost as a stain on my record? And the advice that we gave her was, look, you tell your own story. The things that happened, the barriers, the boundaries, the setbacks, whatever, as long as you own that stuff, nobody knows about it before they meet you. Nobody sees it on your shirt unless you put it there. Right. And so instead, you have the opportunity to tell your story and to put that into context. And even the bad things can ultimately reflect well on you so long as you're telling that story properly. And so anyway, I seize upon that because I feel like this message that you're saying is a really, really valuable one about grappling with what we have to offer and what's possible and everything. But a big part of it is the story that we tell to ourselves and then the story that we tell of ourselves to others.
Ooh, and this is why this you're really taking us to a space that I really want everyone to try to really work on. And I've been saying this since 2020. Vulnerability is the new currency. And I don't mean that monetarily, although it can turn into that. But what I mean is vulnerability is the new currency, is that the more transparent you can be, first with yourself, like owning it, understanding it, we're not perfect. We have things that we need to work on. But understanding that those weaknesses can be seen as strengths to other people if you put it into your story. And so if you are more willing, if you are more open to being more vulnerable about the things that you should be talking about that you think would actually harm your business or harm your personal brand are the actual things that will empower your business and empower your brand. Right. And you will find that there are so many other people that will come to your support to find out, oh, you felt that way too? Oh, I didn't know you were thinking about committing suicide, or I didn't know that you were going through this particular thing, or that you went bankrupt, or I didn't know any of that. But now having the juxtaposition of where you are and you telling this story, it carries so much more weight. So I mm-hmm. think vulnerability is one of the takeaways. And when I read your story about the woman with the shop and now being more, I believe, I haven't talked to her, but I believe that she decided to get more vulnerable about herself and her business. Only because she started setting appointments did she realize, like, this is working. I'm actually making more money. But it took the pandemic to recognize that the retail storefront wasn't working, but she had committed to that so much as a part of her story that she wasn't being vulnerable about what was probably really going on. And that story probably was like, I don't know how I'm going to keep this thing up. I don't know how I'm going to keep this thing running. This thing, I'm bleeding money, like so on and so forth, right? So that vulnerability, whether it's with yourself or once you get comfortable with that, sharing that as a part of your story externally is something that I think is really needed in this time, especially, but it's also a way for you to get your superhero cape and to really lean into your superpower. Normally, the thing that we are afraid of talking about the most is the one thing that gives us the biggest superpower.
Yeah. And I really like that you just connected vulnerability to that story of the woman with the shop, because on its surface, that doesn't sound like a story of vulnerability. It just sounds like a business strategy story.
That's right.
But it really is a vulnerable story, because the root of it has to be that at some point this woman sat down and said, I just don't know what to do. And I don't know what to do actually is a pretty freeing thing to say out loud, because it suddenly opens up all sorts of solutions that you might not have considered if you felt like you did know what to do.
In Buddhism, they teach you to not be attached. They teach non-attachment. And I think this is also a nice little thing about her story. She was probably writing the story of being attached to the idea that her identity was aligned with this retail operation. And that if that failed, she failed. Not realizing that shutting the business down can still mean that you can still run the business. You just can't run it in the way that you were attached to running it in. And so that disconnection, that ability to kind of remove that from our own identity frees us up for other possibilities. I'm going through it right now with my show. I can't shoot in Times Square. I can't shoot in NASDAQ. And so I had to get real with myself and be vulnerable about, well, do I just wait until I can come back to make it perfect the way it was? Or do I go out on a limb, try something completely different under the same banner, under the same brand, and come out and risk what the goodwill we just created in the past season with a beautiful studio right across the street from Good Morning America to now doing something from home and risk all of that? That's real vulnerability right there. But sharing that is powerful, even to myself. Because here's the thing, if it doesn't work out the way I envision it, it still can't be horrible, like I'm doing something. But if it works out better than I envision it, I'm going to be a genius. I'm going to be looked at as like someone who knew what they were thinking about doing. And I'm putting it on the record. I did not know what I was doing, but I was willing to try. And I think that is probably the ultimate underscore from what I'm hearing and reading in your article. Experimentation is trying. And when you think about your job or your business and your products as experiments, I tend to lose all of the angst and stress of it having to work out in a certain way. Because an experiment, as we all remember from school, it could work out, it might not. It's a hypothesis. And if you do that, then you're more willing to learn from the experiments so that your next experiment can be better. But we waste so much on failure, and we see that as a thing that stains us, as you mentioned earlier, a badge that hits us. But the only time we fail is when we don't try or when we don't learn from what we tried.
Mario, this has been super insightful. I want to bring it home with this question. You talk a lot about never settling, about bursting through those barriers. This is a subject that I'm passionate about as well. I talk a lot about finding opportunity and change, but I find that when I have to change myself, it's still actually pretty scary. Even though I consider myself something of an authority on the subject, still pretty scary. And then you learn something as you go through it. So you just told me you've been grappling with how to continue your show in this time where you can't do it live in Times Square, and you were pushing yourself and you came to some kind of peace that maybe it won't work out, but at least we're learning. I'm just curious what you learned in that experience that you have to share with others who are going to be going through or are going through a similar grappling themselves.
Ooh, that's really good, man. The self-assessment that I did for me was, it really wasn't the fear. Like, here's the thing. As entrepreneurs, we pretty much know how to get up and go. What I find that was really hard for me to really deal with was getting it out of my ego, getting out of the way in terms of how I thought it would be received. Even though I would try to say, oh, Mario, you don't really care. Like, you're out there trying to just, you're going to do it. But yeah, in the back of your mind, you really do give a damn. Like, why would you not give a damn? Otherwise, what are you doing? Right. So I had to come to grips and realize, like, no, that's a voice I actually have to contend with. I have to actually believe that I'm going to put out the best thing that I can do with what I have available to me at the time. And I think that was the unlock for me. So if there's one unlock for you, here's the thing. Hindsight will always make you see things different. You can always look back and say how you would have made a decision differently. My question to you is this, and this is what unlocked for me. My question was, Mario, did you make the decision with as much information and research or talking to a mentor, getting some advice? Have you did all the things that you possibly could do to inform you on that decision when you made that decision? If you did that, That is the best you could have done with the knowledge you had at that time. Now, if you don't do the work, if you don't ask questions, if you don't do the research and you're out here just winging it, then yeah, you might look back at your life and be like, maybe I shouldn't have winged it. Maybe I should have been more strategic. But if you have done the work and you've thought it through and you come up with a vision and you have belief in it and you decide to start moving towards it, then at that point, you are filled with every bit of information that you can use at that time to your ability. So trust in that, make the decision and keep going.
Mario Armstrong, it is always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's been great talking about this.
Thanks again to my friend Mario Armstrong. Check out that podcast of his, Wake Up and Level Up. And also one more thing you can do if you are looking for ways to see opportunity in change is to sign up for my newsletter. It is called Build for Tomorrow. Yes, just like my other podcast, it's called Build for Tomorrow. Anyway, you can find it at jasonpfeiffer.com, J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com. Go bust through those barriers. All right. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonpfeiffer.com, J-A-S-O-N-F-E-I-F-E-R.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.